The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello, this is Lisa Bernhard for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Scout's Life of November 2025. We're going to start today with some letters from readers of this magazine. Thank you for another wonderful issue. When I saw the composite materials merit badge mentioned, I felt really happy. That is a very cool merit badge. As always, the joke section was entertaining. I enjoyed the one about Red Hulk, as that is how one of my fellow scouts looked after a recent campout. I also cannot believe that one troop went whitewater rafting for 100 miles on the Salmon River. That must have taken a lot of planning, but it also sounds fun. And that is from Shushruth K from the internet. Yeah, that rafting trip looked awesome. I sure would have liked to tag along. After all, the river's named for one of my favorite foods. Hey, since you're into merit badges, Shushruth, have you heard? All the merit badge pamphlets are now online for free. Check it out. go.scoutlife.org/merit badges. My time at camp is always eventful and educational. I love camp because of the learning and chances to make friends. I'm doing the programming, communication, citizenship in the world, cooking, and chess merit badges. My favorite merit badge I currently am working on is wood carving, which is why I'm carving an eagle into some wood. Sincerely, Joseph B. of Chandlersville, Ohio. An eagle? If you've chosen the perfect specimen for carving into wood, Joseph, on behalf of all us eagles, thank you for being the Michelangelo for the Hyalitis lecocephalus species. That's the American bald eagle, by the way. I love how you display scouting through your magazine. I appreciate how you show everybody the fun, adventurous side of scouting, like whitewater rafting. But you also show the fundamentals of cheerful service and helping others. One thing you could add is information about the 2026 National Jamboree. It will be held at the Summit Betchel Reserve in West Virginia, July 22nd through the 31st in 2026. That is from Liam D. of Fort Mill, South Carolina. Liam, this is a good idea, and you've already done the hard work for us by sharing the dates and the location. We promise to keep everyone up to speed on all the good news going into and coming out of the National Jamboree next summer. If you're planning to go, write in and let us know how you're prepping for the big event. I am a Star Scout. I've learned a lot, and I think the magazines are pretty helpful because they share the latest things in the world and in scouting. My favorite thing about scouting is the friends you make along the way. And that is from Bentley A. of Beatrice, Nebraska. Way to rise through the ranks, Bentley. You're soaring through the program with the right attitude. I totally agree. The best part of scouting is the friends you gather in your flock along the way. On that note, it's time for a challenge. This month, invite a friend outside of scouting to visit a meeting and see what the fun of scouting with friends is all about. Encourage them to join the troop and make new friends. See you next month. Next, we're going to talk about bison celebration. America's largest land mammal has its own holiday. National Bison Day is celebrated every year on the first Saturday in November. Conservationists started the movement in 2012. In 2016, President Barack Obama signed the National Bison Legacy Act, making the American bison the national mammal of the United States. In the 19th century, bison were killed for their hides for sport and to eliminate an essential Native American food source. At one point, fewer than 1,000 remained. Over the years, the Wildlife Conservation Society, different Native American tribes, and others worked to restore this national treasure. Today, America has almost 500,000 bison, with 30,000 living in the wild. Before Europeans came to America, more than 30 million bison roamed North America. Herds could stretch 50 miles long and 20 miles wide. They lived across the country from California to New England, but they preferred the Midwest grasslands. Some bison fun facts. Bison can run up to 35 miles per hour. Males can weigh up to 2,000 pounds. Herds are largely led by females. Native Americans relied on bison for food, tools, and other materials. A bison's back hump is muscle that helps it move deep snow with its head to find grass in the winter. What's a good mess kit to get? This is a question from Hazel out of Houston, Texas. The answer, a mess kit contains dinnerware and often utensils in a convenient package that easily fits in your backpack. You can get a basic four-piece kit shown above, from the Scout Shop for $32.95. And some pieces have multiple uses. For example, you can cook with the kit's frying pan or eat from it like a plate. To have plenty of pieces for cooking, think about buying the biggest kit, such as King Camp Adventure Mess Kit for $39.99. The 7-piece version comes with 2 pots, a frying pan, 2 plates, 2 bowls, and utensils. That's enough gear to share with another scout. If you want something for the whole patrol, save up for a big camp kitchen like the UCO Cook Kit Camp Kitchen. It's $299.99. This set has 47 pieces, including a pot, a skillet, cooking and eating utensils, plates, bowls, organizing bins, and cleaning gear. It's all stowed in a box made of corrugated plastic, which is much lighter than the traditional wooden chuck box. Also, look for kits with durable materials like stainless steel so your gear can last for many outings. Now on to some stuff that Scouting Life likes. Sun butter. When you plan a menu for your unit, you should be aware of any food allergies so you can help keep everyone safe. If anyone has a nut allergy, look for nut-free products like sun butter, made of sunflower seeds. Sun Butter Original, $7.99 for a 16-ounce jar, offers an alternative to peanut butter that still provides protein, fiber, and healthy fats. Also available in crunchy, creamy, no sugar added, chocolate, and organic. Sun butter is a tasty in a sandwich or prepared with apples or pretzels. Their website lists dozens of recipes. Sun butter also sells frozen pre-made sandwiches called jammies. $5.99 for a 4-pack. They're similar to Uncrustables. Jammies come in grape and strawberry jelly versions, both on whole wheat bread. Simply take them out of the freezer and let them thaw. Ideal during a day trip or on the road. Somebody asks, my troop is going on a canoeing campout. What dry bag would you recommend? That is from Will in Springfield, Virginia. The answer? For many outings, storing your stuff in heavy-duty garbage bags, 5-gallon buckets, or resealable plastic bags can keep everything dry while saving you some cash. However, I'd think about investing in dry bags for longer backcountry treks. Dry bags are made of durable fabric, such as nylon, that not only repels water, but also holds up well on the trail. A fabric's thickness is measured by its denier number. The higher the denier number, the thicker the material. For example, the NRS Expedition Dry Duffel dry bag, or $159.95 to $359.95, is made with heavy-duty PVC-free 840 denier nylon that's thick and strong. The bag's zipper is thick and toothless, creating a waterproof seal. So even if the bag is dunked underwater, everything inside stays dry. Many dry bags use a basic roll-top method to seal. Simply put your gear in through the open top, roll down a few times, and secure it with a snap buckle. Mustang Survival's Blue Water Line, $34.99 to $54.99, and High Water Backpack Line, $119.99 to $164.99, both use this method. Also, the bottoms of Mustang Survival's dry bags are rectangular, allowing them to stand up. This is handy because they provide easier access to your gear and you can reseal them quickly. So look for bags that have a higher denier number and are easy to use. Scouting America's Northern Tier and Seabase High Adventure bases sell dry bags online too. Now let's talk about scouts and others with big stories. Crew Captain. Life Scout wins at Worlds. Jensen Sowell, age 15, from Denver, Colorado. Scout rank, Life Scout, Troop 5, Denver. Made headlines as a captain of the U.S. under-16 team that won 3 silver and 3 bronze medals at the 2025 International Dragon Boat Racing World Championships. The scoop? 32 countries were represented at the competition in Germany. Dragon boat racing, which originated in China, involves crews of 18 to 20 paddlers in long boats, plus a steerer and a drummer who provides a beat to keep the crew paddling in unison. Jensen's crew also contributed to the U.S. winning the Junior Cup, which is awarded to the country with the most medals won by teams under age 18. Indy 500 Ambassador. Natalie Restivo, age 20, from Plainfield, Indiana. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 308, Plainfield. Made headlines for being selected as a 2025 National Bank of Indianapolis 500 Festival Princess, an annual honor recognizing 33 college-aged women across Indiana. The scoop? The award highlights individuals for academic achievement, leadership skills, and community service. As a 500 Festival Princess, Natalie serves as an ambassador for the festival, which is an event that promotes the Indianapolis 500 and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. She also participates in leadership development programs, community outreach, and public events throughout the state. John Vanderkolk, age 14, from Appleton, Wisconsin. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 2, Appleton. Made headlines as a member of the 2626A Lemon Lime team, which won the 2025 VEX V5 Robotics Middle School State Championship. The team advanced to the World Championship, where they won the Think Award in the Innovative Division. John is a two-time state champion and has qualified for and competed in three World Championships. Jack Jeffers, age 9, out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Scout rank, Weeblow Scout, Pack 618, Scottsdale. Made headlines for successfully completing the Chachabama Inca Trail to Machu Picchu in Peru. Along with his family, Jack completed the trail when he was 8 years old. The trail is challenging with steep climbs, changing weather conditions, and rugged terrain. It also introduced Jack to the rich cultural and natural heritage of Peru. Trevor Suggs, age 16, from Austin, Texas. Scout rank, Eagle Scout, Troop 405, Georgetown, Texas. Made headlines as the Council Service Territory 7 winner of the 2025 Glenn A. and Melinda W. Adams National Eagle Scout Service Project of the Year Award. Trevor's 15-month, 907-hour project involved the construction of an ash scattering garden for cremated remains in the IOOF Cemetery in Georgetown. It's the first public, legal, and Americans with Disabilities Act compliance garden of its kind in Texas. An epic expedition. These scouts found adventure in the wake of legendary explorers Lewis and Clark. On the first day of his troop's 65-mile canoe trek in Montana, Jake Stonebrook stepped into the river. The water was cold, absolutely frigid. It was late June, but the air temperature had plunged into the 40s that morning, and the river felt just as chilly. But the 14-year-old Star Scout and his friend in Troop 362 of El Cajon, California, were ready. They had packed warm clothes for the week-long journey on the Missouri River, following part of the path that explorers Meriwether Lewis and William Clark took 220 years ago. As the temperatures heated up through the week, so did the adventure. The scouts navigated across lakes and past rocky cliffs while learning about the pioneers who had gone before them. Into the frontier. 3 decades ago, the leaders of Troop 362 created a plan for the scouts to paddle part of the Missouri River in central Montana. The adults had been inspired by a book called Undaunted Courage by Stephen E. Ambrose, which details Lewis and Clark's more than 8,000-mile trek from the St. Louis area to the Pacific coast and back. It was a rugged, dangerous journey to explore the scarcely charted Louisiana Territory and attempt to find a water route to the Pacific Ocean. The troop's first trip was a hit. Every few years since, the troop has gone back to canoe the same route. I thought it was very cool, said Luke Myers, 16, a Star Scout. Something great was done before you, and you're basically doing the same thing. Teamwork and communication are important when canoeing. That's why the troop practiced their skills before the trek by going on two paddling outings. A lot of issues come up when syncing the paddles together, says Star Scout William Reinstein, 16. The guys in the front seat, in the front, sets the intensity of how you're paddling. He also has the freedom to paddle as fast or as slow as he wants. The steerer in the back pretty much has to match his rhythm. The guys also reviewed their knots so they could weave a web of rope over the gear while on the river. Some of the adults drove along with a trailer packed with supplies, but they couldn't always meet up with the scouts because some campsites were accessible only by water. Learning and serving. The trek started slowly as the group faced the elements. The first day was probably the worst. We had a headwind and very little current, said Larry Mast, 16, a life scout. It took us a very long time. The scouts adjusted as they progressed, studying the currents and strategizing how to find rest stops. Teamwork saved us a lot of work, said life scout Julian Kazwara, 15. Halfway into the journey, they took a day hike to the site memorializing those lost in the Man Gulch fire. In 1949, lightning started a wildfire in the canyon. Firefighters, called smoke jumpers, parachuted in to extinguish the blaze, but unfortunately, the fast-moving fire killed many of them. Working with the U.S. Forest Service, the scouts cleared brush along the trail that leads to the memorial site and installed a plaque commemorating it as a national recreation trail. Coming from California, where wildfires are a frequent danger, the scouts could solemnly reflect on the sacrifices made at Man Gulch. The guys also took time along the trek to pause and appreciate their surroundings. We would do a 10-second break where we made no noise at all, said Armin McGehee, 16, a Star Scout. The best parts were when it was just wilderness and you can see and hear whatever was around you. The troop spotted bald eagles, pelicans, beavers, deer, and snake. The route flowed into lakes in some places and then went through jagged canyons covered with evergreen trees. The scenery was really grand, William says. There were so many mountains and hills. History comes alive. During Lewis and Clark's journey from 1804 to 1806, the expedition party encountered dozens of Native American tribes. To build friendly relationships, the group gave gifts of beads, medallions, and flags, among other things. Replica flags emblazoned with an eagle fluttered above the stern of each troop canoe. The scouts had ordered them to symbolize a link from the past to the present. On the troop's last day on the water, the flags really flew as the crew raced to its final campsite, covering more than 20 miles in half a day. The river was flowing fast. It felt like an easy day, Larry says. Lewis and Clark's expedition crew didn't always have that luxury because it often traveled upstream. In one area, the group had to portage, carry their gear and boats across land, 18 miles around a series of hazardous waterfalls, which took a month to complete. It makes you more appreciative of what they did, Julian says. It was way harder. The trek also made the guys more grateful for scouting. An ambitious idea years ago became a troop tradition, giving generations of scouts the chance to learn more about their country and themselves. Our troop does a lot, Williams says. The biggest thing is to go out and do it and try to have as much fun as possible. The Corps of Discovery. Commissioned by President Thomas Jefferson, Lewis and Clark aimed to find a reliable aquatic route from the eastern part of the United States to the Pacific Ocean. The crew, named the Corps of Discovery, took more than 2 years to complete the expedition. Although they didn't find a continuous route to the ocean, Lewis and Clark documented more than 170 types of plants and 120 species of animals and studied the climate, geography, and geology along the way. Sacagawea, a Native American teenager, was an important member of the crew. She helped them survive by finding edible plants and letting other tribes know they come in peace. Let's learn a couple of new jokes. Curran asks, did you hear about the first restaurant to open on the moon? Craig wants to know, what about it? Curran replies, it has great food, but no atmosphere. And that is from Curran M. in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Why does the light bulb like to give advice? Because it always has a bright idea. From Brandon G. in Bremerton, Washington. Who was the roundest knight in King Arthur's court? Circumference. Luke M., Austin, Texas. Why do I think that turkeys might be trolls? Because they're always goblin. From Gregory H. in Hamilton, New Jersey. We have run out of time for today's episode. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Lisa Bernhard, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This show is available as a podcast titled SI Kids at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.